I was recently married. I was married January 12th, and we had a son 5 weeks ago. Now, to save you the trouble of counting on your fingers, that works out. It works out. But they say that a man can never have a child because he could never stand the pains that a woman goes through in delivering a baby. And this is true. But a man does go through a little hell, too, you know. And after you're all finished and you have the baby, you begin to wonder how the world ever got overpopulated, because everybody swears, that's the last one. That's the last. I'm not going through that again. I'm not going through that. What happens? You read books, and you can read all the books in the world, and it isn't going to cover it, you know. But when it actually happens, believe me, you will turn to jelly like I did and like every other expectant father does. My wife is very calm about it. I'm lying in bed, and I just heard some noise or something, a suitcase, and I wake up, and I say, what's the matter, honey? And she says, I think we better go to the hospital. Now, my immediate reaction is to just panic, but you read in these books that you should be very calm. So I tried to be calm. I said, okay, honey. I said, now have you been timing the contractions? She said, yes, they're about 5 minutes apart. Well, now one of the books said this means 6-7 hours, and we're 45 minutes from the hospital. But that's another thing you'll find out, that all obstetricians, any self-respecting obstetrician, will always have his office 45 minutes away from the hospital that he practices at, you see, and it's usually about an hour away from your home. This is for the father's benefit, so he can go crazy on the way to, because you always have visions of having to deliver the baby, you know, and this can turn you into dealing. Anyway, I'm trying to be very calm. I said, all right, honey, you finish packing the suitcase. And by the way, you never use anything in the suitcase. They tell you to pack a suitcase. This is just to give the wife something to do while the husband is getting dressed, because you take the little bag down to the hospital and they shove it off in a corner and they give it to you when you leave, you know, and it's never opened. So I went in the bathroom and I shaved and I put the Band-Aids on my face. Came out, you know, and I said, well, okay, honey, I think we'd better go. And she said, aren't you going to call a doctor? I said, of course, it's very good. He should know about it. He said, you should. So he can be there, or at least a representative of his. So I went into the den very calmly, looked up his number in the phone book, and dialed his number, picked up the phone, and said, Billy! And hung up, and we went down, we got in the car, you know, we're driving along, and we're about 15, 20 minutes on our way to the hospital, and my wife says, you know, you call the doctor. I said, yeah, honey. I said, Dr. Miller would be down there about half an hour, you know, and nothing. She said, Dr. Miller's my dentist. What the hell do you call my dentist? So I said, well, they talk to other doctors, and, you know, I'm sure he'll know what to do, you know. If a cab driver can deliver a baby, certainly a dentist can, you know. And, of course, whenever you're in a hurry, there's always two people in front of you who are practicing for a parade of some kind. They're going about 2 miles an hour, you know. And my wife is timing the contractions now on the auto clock, and they're not too reliable anyway, you know. And they're about 3 minutes apart, and this is beginning to worry me a little bit. So I'm zooming down Wilshire, and I finally get to the hospital and figure, you know, finally, well, we're here. There are a lot of doctors around and nurses, so my concern should be over. But it's not over. This is really when your troubles start. This hospital we went to is a strange hospital because they have a parking lot, and you have to put a quarter in this slot, and then the gate comes up. You know, they don't work on the honor system, apparently. They figure, you know, you're going to drop your wife off and then take off to Acapulco or something, for, you know, till it's over. And it's not the easiest thing to hit at 20 miles an hour, which is about what I was doing when we arrived at the hospital. But finally, we got inside, and you go to the admitting office, you know, and there's a nurse there. She says, how do you do, sir? And what is your name? I said, my name is Newhart. She said, all right, Mr. Newkirk, and is this your wife? I said, no, this is a hitchhiker. She was hitchhiking down here to the hospital, and it's, you know, it's right on my way to work, and it isn't that far out of the way, so I figured I'd drop her off. And she said, well, we have to have the husband sign the paper. I said, I am the husband. I was just a little attempted humor there. And She said, now, sir, do you have Blue Cross or any other hospital plan? And I'm getting a little panicky now. I said, look, could I possibly, you know, answer the questions while you take my wife upstairs, you know? And she said, well, no, we need your wife to sign the form at the end of it, you know? So I said, well, if you wait about 15 minutes, all three of us can sign can sign this form. That's very important. And with this, she panicked because she wasn't a nurse, it turned out. She's a clerk at the hospital, and she wouldn't have known what to do, you know, if the baby came there. So she got her in the elevator and got her upstairs. And they have two wonderful rooms, wonderfully titled rooms. They call one the labor room, and the other one is called the hard labor room. You know? In other words, you're going to scream your head off in this room, you know, which makes the wife feel great, you know. And you're allowed now to stay with your wife for a while until she goes into the hard labor room. So finally, they take my wife into the hard labor room, and you can find nothing out from any hospital people if you're an expectant father. You are the lowest form of life in a hospital. No one, even maintenance people, will have nothing. Will have nothing to do with it. And there are people running around, you know, with various assorted pans of one kind or another, with worried looks on their faces. And I don't think they're nurses. They're just people that are hired to run around looking worried, because this makes the father feel better, you know, that they're concerned. And then they have the father's room. It's sort of a torture chamber that they've devised to drive the father nuts while the wife is having the baby. And this is filled with guys you just wouldn't believe. You know, they're all sitting like that. And there's one guy in there who has just had a baby, and he is superior to everybody else, you know. He's sort of gloating, you know. And, of course, I'm trying to get information out of him, you know, and I say, gee, they just took my wife into the hard labor room. I'm like, what will it be, 15, 20 minutes, I guess? No. So, no. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, 5, 6, 7 hours. He said, you see that poor guy over there in the corner? 32 hours he's been. And there's a guy in the corner, he's not making any sense at all. He's going, mom, mom, mom. So as I say, I don't know how the world ever got overpopulated, because we swore we would never do it again. But it has a happy ending, because we had a little son, Robert William, and he was 7 pounds, 14 ounces. And, oh, I became a father officially the other day. You're officially a father, you know, when the baby is born, but you aren't really a father until your baby has gone all over you. And my son went all over me the other day, and I'm a member of an exclusive fraternity now. But believe me, when it happens, it's wonderful.